Are we on?
Hello, my name is Emily Prisco, and you are on the air with GASP. GASP, or the Group Against Smog and Pollution, increases awareness and promotes advocacy around southwestern Pennsylvania's poor air quality. In this episode, community members share stories about air pollution odors. Then, Carnegie Mellon's Create Lab tells us about an app that allows users to rank and report smells. Finally, we learn how you can capture the smell of air pollution in a bite-sized dessert. The common theme, the nose-nose. Stay tuned.
It's a sulfurous, acrid, industrial stench. And sometimes it hangs in the air so thick that you feel like you can taste it.
To get a better understanding of how smells impact local residents, I visit Lisa Minetti, a boomerang Pittsburgher and an active community member. Her two parakeets tweet excitedly in the background while she tells me all about her experience with air pollution.
So I live in Morningside, which is very close to the Highland Park Zoo, and it's on top of a hill above the Allegheny River. I've been living here for about 2 years. When I first smelled the smell, it was very familiar to me. I knew that smell. That was the smell of the Hazelwood coke plant. That was the smell of the Shenango coke plant. And I noticed this smell on the second day that we were here. I woke up with asthma symptoms, a sore throat, and sinus inflammation. It's really bad, like once every week, every other week, more or less. And sometimes it's 4 or 5 days in a row. And those periods are extremely distressing.
So do you still sleep with your windows open?
For the first year here, you know, we did want to sleep with our windows open. And there were many mornings that I woke up a little bit sick, but usually I'd my subconscious would process it. So I'd kind of wake up at like 4 and be like, oh no, the smell, close the windows and go back to sleep. And so that was okay for me actually at that time, because, you know, you move to a city and you adapt to the environment. You do things to adapt. But after about a year or so of adapting, I started getting really angry.
So you grew up in Pittsburgh, left, and then you came back, correct? What was that like?
I grew up in the 1970s. I remember seeing the glowing slag heaps when I was a child. I remember going to Pitt and like smelling this horrible, like sulfurous smell and learning that it was the Hazelwood coke plant. I mean, as a teen and a young adult, I became aware of what the smells were. But as a child growing up here, I heard all the stories about Pittsburgh's past, about how my father had to change his shirt, how my grandmother, who was an Italian immigrant, used to wash the windows every day so her family could see the smoky air outside. You know, I mean, this is like cultural heritage, right? I get it. And when I was young, there was fondness there. But when I was young, I also had asthma. If you haven't left and come back, you might perceive your health symptoms as normal, right? This is what you live and this is what you adapt with.
Do you ever regret coming back?
I don't regret coming back because I love Pittsburgh and I love my hometown. And I've met so many new people. And I really love people here. And so now we think, should we leave or should we not? I mean, you know, I don't want to leave because there are so many people that I love here. But I also love to breathe.
Lisa's fight for a breath of fresh air is emblematic of the fight at large. She is joined by other individuals, activists, and organizations across the county. One such activist, Mark Dixon, has created an alert that warns people of smelly air before it reaches them, a tool that Lisa purports to use in preparation for a smelly day or night. Mark Dixon joins GASP's Executive Director, Rachel Filippini, on the show.
So hi, Mark.
Hello.
Thanks so much for being part of our first podcast on odors and what the nose knows. So tell me a little bit about yourself, how long you've been in Pittsburgh, when you started noticing foul odors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm a filmmaker.
primarily. I moved from San Francisco in California to Pittsburgh in late 2006. I jog maybe every other day. I'll try to jog. And what I found was that once in a while, I would be out jogging and I would smell something funny. And I wasn't quite sure how to characterize it. In my mind, it was almost like it was a yellow smell, like it was not clean, but I didn't know how to characterize it. I've since come to use words like acrid, industrial, sooty, smoky, words like that. In 2010, I moved to Highland Park, and once in a while, I'd get to the top of Highland Park, and I would jog around and kind of find with my nose these tendrils of different smells. And instinctually, I thought, these are not things that I ought to be breathing, especially while I'm jogging. But I really wasn't sure what it was or where it was coming from. And so from about 2010 to 2013, I was kind of just trying to avoid it, but not really understanding it and just a little bit frustrated. So when I'd start to smell it, I would turn around and run the other way and sort of change my running routine. Then there was one occasion, one day that changed it for me. I woke up in the morning and found that there was a little bit of a smell outside and had to drive to a location where I was filming, and it was across town. When I got out of the car in the other part of town, I smelled the exact same smell. And so suddenly, after years of kind of casually encountering this smell and not understanding it, I realized now that this was a broad citywide stink problem. And that's when I started to complain to the Allegheny County Health Department. And so now I've been going down that rabbit hole for years and exploring the frontier of air quality, trying little experiments and testing the ground truth of what I was told by the health department. And so I've come a long way since those early days of smelling it once in a while and not understanding what it was.
So you started some time ago a hashtag, right? Mm-hmm. Called Stinkberg.
Yeah.
And you use it when you tweet and you talk about it on Facebook. Do you feel like people are responding?
Yeah. So I started using that hashtag to highlight for people that it stunk outside. Everybody, let's get together and complain as one unified people to kickstart action at the health department, to let them know it's just not a couple people, that we all understand it's smelling. And so I would say, you know, Stinkberg alert, if you smell it, report it. I would always try to be very careful to say, don't just report stuff because you heard that you smelled it, because that doesn't create actual data that the health department can meaningfully act on, which that's the ultimate goal, is data they can act on. But I would say very often, it stinks outside for me. If you smell it, please report it. Then a couple years ago, I had been looking at little air monitors and trying to find a digital signal for when it was that I could smell something outside, to have something that verified that my nose wasn't alone, that there was data to back it up. And I had trouble finding something that would correlate with the smell until I encountered a sensor, a monitor called Aware. It includes volatile organic compounds, one of which that they monitor for is toluene. Albert Presto had written an article, and it highlighted how he was detecting spikes in toluene, among other chemicals, during occasions that looked to me from his data like that's what I was smelling. So when I realized that this low-cost monitor could actually measure toluene, I thought, aha, I'm going to put that on my porch, and then I'm going to see if it smells when this little sensor spikes. Shortly after I bought this monitor, I had several stink events and would wake up and see the spike on the monitor and smell the stink outside. And so here I finally had data-based correlation with when it stunk. It was an exciting moment for me. What did it mean? I didn't know yet, except I was validated in my frustration that there was something happening. It was verified by the data. And now where do we go from here? I don't know. So I started exploring and talked to the health department some more. And they would say things like, oh, well, you may have smelled something last night because it was an inversion. And that's a frustrating answer for me to hear, because I don't believe that inversions inherently smell. Inversions only make it easier to smell what's emitted around you because there's less air for it to dilute itself with. But when the health department said, oh, it's an inversion, they also mentioned, oh, it will probably be another strong inversion tonight. I thought, wait, you know when it's going to be an inversion before it happens? One thing led to another, and I found the website where the National Weather Service predicts inversions. And so then I started to track inversion predictions with the results on my VOC monitor. and correlate that with wind direction. And after about 10 days of analyzing that information, I could predict with reasonable accuracy when it would stink at night. And that's when the Stinkberg hashtag really started to come into play, because I would send out the Stinkberg hashtag so that people would know when to close their windows at night or when it was okay to wake up in the morning and jog. They could plan their days, and I felt that that would have real meaningful impact to people's lives.
How often would you say you have to change your routine, that it's negatively impacting what you want to do in life?
Several times a month, usually, my routine is impacted by stinky, nasty air pollution in Pittsburgh. Sometimes I'll go for a week without being able to go jog outside. Now, it's important to note that I'm not using any sort of formal health measure of when it's appropriate for me to go outside. But what I do know is that people who live in Pittsburgh are at higher risk of cancer from air pollution. It seems that the less time I spend in stinky air, the lower my health risk is over the long run. I don't want to develop adult onset asthma. I don't want to develop emphysema. I don't want to develop heart disease. I don't want to have trouble sleeping. I don't want to, you know, all of the things that could be accompanying air pollution. I don't want all those things.
So you mentioned that you've had people come up to you, and while they may not be using the Stinkberg hashtag, they're reading what you're putting out there, and they appreciate it, and they may be making decisions based on your recommendations. Do you feel, though, that it's making a difference otherwise? Do you think there's any difference being made in terms of hopefully the air getting cleaned up because more people are aware of this?
Mm-hmm. If anything, I think that an increase in people complaining has caused the health department to maybe take a little bit of a closer look at the Edgar Thompson Mill's contribution to the stink. The predictive algorithm that I use seems to point at something southeast of Squirrel Hill, where I am. That's where the wind predictions indicate that it's either coming somewhere between Edgar Thompson Mill and Clairton. I can only hope that they've taken the increase in complaints to recognize that citizens aren't just going to sit down and take this kind of pollution anymore. And that if they want to be on the right side of history, they need to take an actual meaningful series of steps to cut the incidence of pollution and stench that happened in Pittsburgh on such a frequent basis that it almost seems impossible for us to imagine that any enforcement is going on at all. It really doesn't feel like it if you have a police person at an intersection and they're there to give people tickets when they run red lights. You'd expect that the number of people who run red lights at that intersection would greatly diminish. And yet, the health department has been here for years, and their job is to enforce regulations that protect our air. And yet, the violations seem to just continue to accumulate. I don't understand how it can go on so long without actually getting rid of the stink problem. There are laws on the books that say that you're not allowed to emit malodorous content off the site of the property. And instead of seizing that violation or finding ways to creatively enforce it, they just say, well, it's not really enforceable. And so, sorry, the stink will persist. I don't accept that. And I will never accept it. Stinkberg doesn't represent an end point in a conversation about air quality. It represents a small piece of a frontier of creatively addressing the air quality issues in our region and even addressing carbon dioxide emissions around the world. It's one tiny part of that frontier. What it represents is a small amount of creative insights from one person working for a very finite period of time to address air quality among hopefully dozens of others until ultimately the air quality problem is fundamentally solved, because there's no more room for discounting citizen complaints anymore. Once we get all these things lined up, it will create a narrative in the hearts and minds of residents around Pittsburgh that, oh, this is an eminently solvable problem. All we have to do is address the sources. And I think once that is clear in the minds and hearts of people throughout Pittsburgh, then we'll start to see real traction on solving our air quality problems once and for all.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
To follow Mark on Facebook or Twitter, search for hashtag Stinkberg. Next on the show is Beatrice Dias, the project director of Carnegie Mellon's Create Lab. She joins us to talk about Smell Pittsburgh, an app that allows users to rank and report smells in real time.
Nice to be on the show.
Can you start by telling our listeners how the Smell Pittsburgh app got started?
So we were working a lot with the Allegheny County Clean Air Now group, which is a community organization that got together really around the Shenango Corkworks and wanted to voice their concerns about the air quality and the impact of their plant on the air quality and the health of their family and friends. And as part of that process, we really discovered that the community often talked about air quality by describing smells they experienced. We eventually started logging those smells. So they would basically fill out a Google form and tell us how bad does it smell today. And they created this scheme of rating it from 1 through 5, 1 being it's fine, 5 being it's terrible. So because it was so connected to the quality of the air as well as their human experience in terms of the quality of their life and their health, we thought it appropriate to actually expand this to more of the Pittsburgh community to give everybody an access point to really talk about what they're smelling in the air and make it clear that the smells they're experiencing are connected to what they're breathing in.
So how does the app work?
It's a pretty simple app. You open it up, it pulls up a form, and it asks you to rate the smell from 1 through 5. And then you have the option, and we encourage this, to describe the smell if you can. Now, most people say something like it's industrial, or it's garbage, or it's wood smoke, which are pretty discernible categories. But you can also be more specific. Like a lot of people say it smells like sulfur or smells like rotten eggs. And the description you give really does help the county health department potentially identify the source. So one thing I didn't mention was that all the smell reports that come through the app go directly to the county health department. So they have a record of everything you submit.
What is the benefit of logging smells rather than looking exclusively at air quality monitors located throughout the county?
It does give you a higher resolution of information that the monitors just can't afford because there aren't that many of them. So if everybody in Allegheny County submitted a smell report, you can get a better sense of the trajectory of the plume or whatever it is traveling through the city. So that helps really determine potential sources.
So with this higher resolution, are you able to determine where pollution is the worst?
Maybe when we have a better representation across Allegheny County, we will be able to say, okay, because there are so many smell reports in these areas, these are probably the worst hit in terms of odor, smell pollution odors. But for now, it mostly just tells us there's a large concentration of reports, and we can generally see that if the smell reports form a specific pattern based on wind direction and wind speed, you can generally say, oh, it must have traveled this way because these reports came up earlier and then they spread up on the east end, for example.
So basically what you're saying is that the more people who use the app, the better idea we get of how and where our air pollution is traveling.
Certainly, certainly. There is a lot of power in the number of reports because it gives you more validity to the data. And so one thing we added for the smell app versus what we were originally doing with the community on a smaller scale was a map of all the smell reports in the region. So once you hit submit smell report, it takes you to this map visualization. And the map is key, one, because it makes it clearer to everybody, just the smell landscape really of Allegheny County. But it also addresses another issue where if you have a smell complaint, for example, and you wanted to let the county health department know, the two avenues are, or three maybe, one is to phone them, to go directly and talk with them at a meeting, or you could submit an online form. But all of three of those, with the exception maybe of the community meeting, you're doing the reporting in isolation or you're not doing it in real time. So the advantage of having the map affords everybody an opportunity to see that their voice is not alone. And there is some empowerment that you feel when it's not just you. So I've definitely had moments where I smell something and I'm like, is it just me? And I would ask Cubs and he says, I don't smell anything. So then I think I'm crazy, but he just doesn't have as good a sense of smell, I think. So if I go to the map and I see, oh, it's not just me. There are a lot of people experiencing this smell. There must be something going on. And then I can also see on the map what the machine sensors are saying about PM levels today. So that gives me a sense of, okay, it's a yellow day or it's an orange day. So what I'm smelling is probably legitimate. And then I can look at how the wind is changing over the course of the day and how that plume that originated maybe upwind from me is now hitting my neighborhood. So it does help in terms of feeling a sense of empowerment.
A lot of community members we've talked to have said the same thing, that they feel validated when they use the app. So are all outdoor smells air pollution? Are they all bad for us?
I am not an epidemiologist, but I would say generally if you're smelling sulfur, yeah, it's probably bad for you. And you know, wood smoke, it depends on how close you are to it and how much. If you can smell it, you must be pretty close to it. And if you're smelling it continually, in previous work, we worked with these indoor air quality monitors, and oftentimes people would say, well, when I'm frying bacon, the air quality gets worse, but how can bacon be bad for you? It smells so great. And it's often, it's funny because, I mean, I would think the same thing, because things that smell pleasant to us, like the air fresheners and stuff, we think are probably fine for us. But whatever you're smelling means that's what you're inhaling. And depending on the makeup of the particles or chemicals that are being released by the source, it could be harmful for you, depending on how deep they lodge into your lungs or into your bloodstream. So I think we're trying to make the connection between, okay, if you're smelling something, that means you're breathing that thing in. So what does that mean for your body and your health?
Does all air pollution have a smell?
I don't believe so. In Pittsburgh, I think we have more smelly air pollution, if that makes any sense. But I don't have any concrete evidence to say what's smellier. But I know, you know, generally dust and particulate matter don't typically have an odor.
Smell Pittsburgh has about 2,700 users who have logged a grand total of 11,000 smell reports. To learn more, visit their website at smellpgh.org. Or download the app on iOS or Android.
After talking about some of the city's smelliest air, I was hoping to transition to something a little sweeter. To accomplish this, I visited Shelby Brewster, a doctoral student at the University of Pittsburgh. Her project last year did something that had never been done in our region before. It captured the smell of air pollution for all to taste, like a tiny dessert postcard that carries all the toxins we are forced to breathe on a daily basis.
Hey, Shelby. So we are currently sitting right across from your kitchen.
Yeah.
Where Pittsburgh's first ever smog meringues were whipped up.
That is true.
Can you tell me, how do you make meringues?
Sure. So they're pretty easy and basic. It's just a couple of ingredients, egg whites, white sugar, and a whisk. Essentially, I mean, you can make them a bit more fancy if you want, but mine were pretty basic because, you know, the goal of them was really to capture other kinds of things. I wasn't trying to make delicious candy, as it were. So I whipped up some here in my kitchen, and then I whipped up a couple other batches, one here in Lawrenceville at the McConway and Torley plant down on 48th Street, which I didn't know was even here in my neighborhood until I started doing research for this project. So I stood outside their property, not on their property, but as close to their property as I could do. And I whipped up meringues there, and then I baked them here in my kitchen. You spend so much time whipping them up, they capture sort of whatever's in the air around them. So with the goal of standing in an area that might be more polluted than others and sort of capturing what is there in the air.
So then the kitchen was your sort of control.
Yeah. So with the idea that there may or may not be more or less pollutants inside my kitchen, right? But the steel foundry not being that far away from my house, right? The question of how much of those pollutants end up inside my kitchen is a, you know, a separate story. But yes, there would be less pollutants, the ones I made inside, than those that I made standing next to the steel foundry. Or I stood at the corner of Center and Nagley at a bus stop and also made some there. So to get a sort of different snapshot of different kind of air quality that we have here in the city.
So just to get this right. So yeah. You were standing outside of the steel foundry and at a bus stop, literally just whipping up eggs.
Yeah. I stood there with a bowl and a whisk and some egg whites and sugar. And it takes a long time to do it by hand. If you use the stand mixer and plug it in, it's pretty quick. But to do it by hand, it takes, you know, about a half an hour. So I stood there for about a half an hour and whipped up some egg whites.
So it's a pretty strange project, a pretty strange idea. I was definitely pretty baffled when I first heard about it. Where did you get the inspiration to do this, to capture the smell of pollution in a dessert?
Yeah, so in my research as a doctoral student at the University of Pittsburgh, I came across this artistic collaborative called the Center for Genomic Gastronomy, and one of their ongoing projects is the smog meringue. So they started doing this in 2011 in India. They did the same thing. They went outside into highly polluted areas of the city and stood outside and whipped up meringues, and with the same sort of intention for the project that I had. And they eventually sort of took it further and built a kind of apparatus where you can generate any kind of atmospheric quality that you might want to, like you do in a scientific lab, and make meringues of any kind, basically, with any, you know, replicating the atmosphere of any major city that you might want to, right? And so I was really interested in this project and several others that they do. And they specifically say, right, because making meringues is something that almost anyone can do, right? You know, you can make these and like send them to your congressman and say, right, like, eat this candy. This is what it tastes like in our neighborhood with the steel foundry next door, for example, here in Lawrenceville. So I was really intrigued by this idea of being able to use candy basically to sort of apprehend something like air pollution that sometimes is invisible or unable to be sensed in other ways. It was sort of a fortuitous meeting of these sort of two separate things that I happened upon in my research, the smog meringues and then GASP already having a history of using baking in this way that just sort of seemed too coincidental to not do something about. And then the air fair happening last August just seemed like the perfect place to sort of make this happen. And so then we did it.
That's awesome that you kind of brought those two ideas together. Or you mentioned sending them to your representatives.
Yeah, it's a crazy idea.
Yeah, it is a crazy idea. And so it kind of makes me think, so what does Pittsburgh taste like? I've heard that London tastes a little bit like dirt. Los Angeles tastes like bleach. What's Pittsburgh's taste?
I don't know. I think I would have to do this again or more. So people at the airfare surprised me. A lot of people ate the meringues, right? So so people's response was that the meringues from outside McConway and Torlett tasted grittier. So maybe there's something about Pittsburgh that is grittier, like we might actually say it tastes like steel. And that's part of the center's work as well, this sort of investigation of what is the taste of a place and what that means. And that's something that they are investigating through the smog meringues and other work that they do as well. Pittsburgh would have a taste, and it's not just like Permanis sandwiches. Like there would be like something else that Pittsburgh would taste like, and maybe it's the air outside McConway and Torley.
So you said that a lot of people were willing to try the meringues.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Were there people who were afraid to try them?
Well, I had a lot of people ask me, like, is this safe? You know, people came into the airfare, which was in East Liberty on Penn Avenue. And I said, you know, you just walked in off Penn Avenue. All those cars are there and you're breathing all that exhaust. And you don't ask yourself every day, is it safe to walk outside? Is it safe to breathe this air? And, you know, some people were sort of stymied and didn't know how to respond to that question. And then sort of the other, in terms of the human body, is that your digestive system is a bit more hardy than your respiratory system. So your body can deal with the chemicals in other ways.
So when people are confronted with the choice of whether or not to eat something that contains pollution, a lot of them chose not to.
And that's why I think an experience like taste, which is conscious in a way that breathing is not, sort of brings an issue like air pollution, which is so prevalent in Pittsburgh, sort of brings it to the foreground in a different way that I think can be really useful and really productive.
Thank you. Thank you for your work, and thanks for talking.
Thanks. It was super fun.
Wait, hold on. What's that noise? What is that? I think it's our call to action alert.
Hi, so not to alarm you, but it is time to get down to work. And today's call to action alert is all about hydrogen sulfide. If you're smelling something, that means that you're breathing it in. Axe body spray, tires, rotten eggs, We notice it as it hits our nose, but we often forget that it just keeps going down, down our trachea, our lungs, maybe even into our bloodstream. Frequent bad smells can significantly decrease our quality of life, and they can be indicative of a greater problem. In the past year, there have been 471 complaints of rotten egg odors to the Smell Pittsburgh app. Odors that are very likely coming directly from industry in the Mon Valley from a chemical called hydrogen sulfide. Most smelly airborne chemicals have no regulatory concentration limit, but in Allegheny County, there is a limit for hydrogen sulfide. The hydrogen sulfide standard is monitored by the Allegheny County Health Department, and it has been violated on average more than 50 times per year for the past 6 years at the Liberty Borough Monitor in the Mon Valley. Today's action, sign our online petition to put an end to these violations to reach attainment for the legal standard for hydrogen sulfide. Visit gasp-pgh.org to sign on.
You've been listening to On the Air with GASP. For this episode, we'd like to thank Lisa Minetti, Mark Dixon, Beatrice Dias, and Shelby Brewster. To read notes from today's episode and to get involved, check out gasp-pgh.org/media. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends and stay tuned for our next episode in 1 month. We'll see you then.